Hey all, thank you for tuning into Women Birders Happy Hour. My name is Hannah. I'm a birder, a woman, and someone that enjoys a good drink after a long day of birding. Women have been integral to birding since it started, but we haven't always been recognized for the contributions and impact we have. Men have dominated the guiding scene, festival circuit, leadership positions, and publications. And according to a U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service 2011 report, in the U.S., there were over 47 million birders. The majority of these birders are college-educated, they are white, they are women, and mostly are over the age of 55. And if you put all these factors together, we create the typical birder, a white, college-educated woman over the age of 55. And that's a demographic that I often see out birding, but I don't as frequently see as a speaker, a guide, or a sole publisher. Additionally, the voices of all women, BIPOC, and LGBTQ+ birders are not well represented in the birding voices we hear from. So I created this show to bring in more voices. Not to say that some of the regular festival keynotes aren't great, but there is room for others. And on the show, I'm asking everyday women from all walks of life to join me to discuss their experiences, their resources, and advice that they have for others. And I want you to remember that just because you may not have experienced some of these things, like sexism or gatekeeping, doesn't mean that they aren't real issues that others face. And because some of these conversations are best had over a cocktail or a mocktail, I also create a unique cocktail for each guest in case you want to mix yourself a drink and join us for this chat. Brenda is a dedicated e-birder, advocate, and guide based in Panama. So red-legged honeycreepers are a small songbird related to tanagers. They're found in tropical areas from southern Mexico to Bolivia and Brazil, and also Trinidad and Tobago. The males are brilliant blue with turquoise head, black bill, black around the eyes, wings, back, and they have these bright red legs. And the females, they're a light green on the bottom and a little bit of a darker green on the back with a black bill and red legs. And they can be found along edges of forests, woodlands, and agricultural plantations. They favor drier habitats, but can also be found in moist and humid areas. And Birds of the World describes their diet as a Catholic diet, that they will eat fruit, insects, and nectar. And they will also come to feeders and restaurant tables looking for fruits. And you can search for them in mixed flocks moving quickly throughout the foliage. They breed between April and June. The females build a cup-shaped nest in a tree or a shrub just a few feet above the ground, and it attaches them to the twigs with spider webs. There, they'll lay two eggs and incubate those eggs for about 2 weeks, and the females brood the chick, but both parents will feed them, and after 2 weeks, they fledge. So here's how you make your red-legged honey creeper. What you'll need is 2 ounces of coconut rum, 1/2 ounce of blue curacao, 4 ounces of Sprite or 7-Up, 1/2 tablespoon of grenadine, and ice. So you'll fill that glass with ice, add the coconut rum, blue curacao, and Sprite to that glass, then pour in the grenadine and appreciate the colors, and you can stir if you'd like. So rum is a common liqueur in Panama, and that's why I went with a rum-based cocktail. And the combination of the blue curacao, which is bright and vibrant like the honey creeper, and the red of the grenadine like their legs, creates a beautiful contrast, much like this gorgeous bird. So please join us for a drink and learn more about Brenda. Well, I'm very excited to welcome Brenda to the podcast from Panama. So Brenda, can you tell us about yourself?
Thank you so much for having me on the podcast. I'm very excited to be talking to you all today. And I'm Brenda. I'm from Panama, a beautiful, small Central American country. And I spent all my childhood and schooling in my wonderful province of Coclé, one of the central provinces on the Pacific side of Panama. And since I was little, I have lived in a rural area surrounded by nature and tranquility. And I finished my bachelor degrees in alternative tourism. And during my first 2 years at university, the focus was on ecotourism. And I'm a naturalist guide now. and on the Western Panama Caribbean slope, and I'm a bird watcher too. Specifically, I work in a beautiful province of Bocas del Toro at Tranquilo Bay Eco Adventure Lodge, located on Isla Bastimento.
So, how did you start bird watching?
I wish I had started observing birds when I was little, but that was not the case. My story with birds began in my second years of university, thanks to a biology teacher who was very dear to me. Hello, Professor Iris, and many others at my university. And really, my relationship with nature has always been there. And still, my introduction to the biologist community was all because of a pair of night monkeys that visited my grandmother gardens. And I started asking questions because I want to learn more about them. And in a different days, the professor then invited me to a workshop led by Audubon Panama in 2018 about emerald and birding in general, and the seminar aimed to count species for the Global Big Day. And I already had a bird that invited me garden, and I was curious to know more about him, and I identify as a male red-leg honey creeper with a bird book provided at the Audubon workshop, and the rest is the history. And sometimes I often get asked how I came to work so far from where I grew up. And because now I work in the Caribbean slope of Panama. And I have my friend and colleague Roger and the School for International Training Program to thanks for recommending me in 2021 while I was learning about marine ecology and ecosystem during a program sponsored by the United States Embassy. And I'm not a scientist by profession, but it has always been a pleasure to learn about nature and ecology. And my current focus is on birds.
So, what are your favorite kinds of animals then? Do you like birds more or marine ecology?
Birds. But with my job now, I need learn about of the marine ecology and the ecosystem, and was a really nice program for me now.
Very cool. So, when you go birding, what does a day of birding look like for you?
It is the best thing in the world over time. It has changed for my first list in Ever in 2018 to a life list lifestyle that I started in a relaxed way in 2020. But before and during the pandemic, as of 2022, it is both my work and my passion. And each day I wake up with birds singing near my room, take a birding walk in the garden or in the forest. And sometimes I travel by boat to go birding. And this is a different activity compared with the first activity that I do. And the last year I decided to make a listed one ever listing each day, which means taking at least 5 minutes to bird watch. And it's pretty.
This is very cool. So, You must have a lot of eBird lists then.
Yes.
So, who or what do you think has been the most influential for your birding?
Audubon Panama, I mean, not be talking to you if I had not participated in that workshop. And so many people have been influential in my birding journey, like Rosabel Miró is a mentor and form part of the team of Audubon Panama. And my friend Josanel Sugasti is a bird watcher's guide, and he was the first people that was the first person with whom I made a list in Eber, because was the guide that the university recommend for the Global Big Day in 2018. 2018, 2019, and 2020 for me was only Global Big Days and only count for Global Big Day. But now it's different. And yes, in fact, Josanel Sugasti was the first person with who I made a list in Eber and showed me the birds of my province. And it was a very intense Global Big Day that started at 5 a.m. and ended at 6 p.m. for me. For another part of the team, they end like 3 p.m. But I decide continue with Josanel because he mentioned a specific bird, the grasshopper sparrow. We have a resident population in my province, and we decide to visit the specific location, but we couldn't see it. Now I have birding friends who inspire me and help me continue. If I must mention a book, I would talk about the field guide of the Bird of Panama in English by George Unger and Robert Dean. And there are many book there are many more historical books of the first bird watchers and naturalists in my country. But George Unger's book was one of the first book that I purchased, and I started learning a species name in English from his book.
Well, that's great. So what has been your experience as a woman birder in Panama?
It has been an enriched experience for my current profession now, and I have been able to contribute to citizen science using eBird and Merlin and iNaturalist too, and as a volunteer in bird monitoring in a specific with Audubon Panama. In the shorebirds monitoring in the Pacific side. Every day we have more and more women's birding, and seeing that we are few in the fields has not bothered me. And there is more room for growth, and we can feel safe going to the field. And more women are encouraged to guide and observe birds alone or in group. And just 3 years ago, Audubon Panama began encouraging women to go birding by creating a project called Euphonias. And I'm a member of the Euphonias, and it is a network of 60 female bird watchers in Panama, and who meet, communicate, ask questions, or ask for advice and share all adventures and photo of birds. And we are across most of the country and learn from all birding birding mentors, women who have been birding for quite some time. And Rosabel is one of the mentors.
That's really cool. I didn't realize there was a women birder group in Panama. That's amazing.
Yes. And the specific euphonia is the elegant euphonia is our bird.
Nice, very pretty. So, how do you feel that we can be more supportive of beginner birders?
I think that creating more clubs or projects like the euphonias, aimed at the general public, men and women, and inviting people to watch birds in the gardens, whether in the countryside or the city. Birders with a little more experience and can give them those tricks that have helped and helped use and what we have been learning. Provide new birders with access to books or tools, and I will always give them the space to express themselves. And I understand that everyone needs experience. In the beginning, we all made a mistake in identifying a bird, either as hobby or profession.
Okay, that's great advice.
Yeah.
You've been guiding for a while and you've also been a part of, Audubon Panama. Do you feel that you've found your place in the birding community?
I think so. Not as a lister of twitcher birders, like another friends. But more than anything, I participate where I can be uploading CDC signs and data and sharing bird content about their behavior, distribution, and color through posts on my social network. Now, for Bird of Panama, but maybe in a future for Bird of America or another part. And the birders community in Panama has welcomed me. I feel like, or may, well, sometimes the last year I decide to do Eberlist every day. And sometimes when there's a rare bird, I decide if I can, I decide visit the place. Maybe if I am a lister and I don't want to admit it yet.
So, what has been a memorable bird or birding experience?
I acquired the Panama Birding Guide and I saw in the book such beautiful birds that inspire me to look for them. The three-water bullbird. And now in my job, I can observe this species and it's amazing. The snow cap in the because the color is different compared with another hummingbird that we have in Panama. And the barred-necked umbrella bird. I still need to see the umbrella bird. I need that in my life. I think that the first Global Big Day was my most memorable bird experience. And I like to collect moments now. The last year, I set a goal to observe more than 600 birds in a year in Panama, and I managed to see 653 species, and which place my number 3 in the country the last year, and it was a pretty cool way to represent female birders in Panama. And yes, and I need to decide if this year I want to see many birds, but the last year was amazing.
That's amazing. Congratulations. That's very cool. So, where is a place that you think every birder should try to go?
Can I say that you must visit my country, Panama, and come visit us? And I must mention one of the most visited hotspots in the very center of the country, Pipeline Road, and the surrounding area of the Soberania National Park. These spots are near what we know at the San Canal Zone, and or Zona del Canal, and what makes the hotspots so famous are the more than 400 species of birds that can be observed there, as well as how close it is to the city, and it also accounts for much of Panama's ornithological history. And another place that I enjoy very much now is the Shanginola Canal, or the Snyder Canal, that was created in 1898, and now is located in Bocas del Toro, and is one of the places that usually I visit for my job, and it is a hot spot along the Western Caribbean slope that require traveling by boat and crossing more than 7 miles, surrounded by wildlife and the local community. And the number of species is more of 359 species.
Sound like some very fun places to go. What changes would you like to see in the birding community?
I want the birding community to grow locally. Our communities is still tiny. And I would like to see more people's observing and becoming aware of protecting and maintaining our bird biodiversity. Let's include more local community so that they are the one who educate their families, and it is a whole chain of good intention, and we get to the point where a person in their daily life is interested in a specific found in their garden, and if it turns out to be a rare bird for the country, to emphasize the importance of not disturbing it.
So, what do you think has been the most valuable thing that you've learned from birding?
Our action as birders will influence the conservation of many birds, species that will or will not be appreciated by the future generation. And a responsible community-based birders has the power to raise awareness and do things for nature by simply generating a bird checklist in our gardens, helping to identify bird and making a videos or taking a photo. We are a great community that together we can make a difference.
Yes, very cool. So, if people want to know more about you or maybe hire you to guide, how would they find out about you?
Can follow me in my social media. In Instagram, I use the name Brenda Wildlife, and if you visit the page of Tranquilo Bay Eco Adventure Lodge, you can yes.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Brenda. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
So, thank you, Brenda, for joining me for this podcast. It was so fun to learn about you. I'd love to come down to Panama sometime and do some birding with you. So, thank you all for listening to my podcast. I hope you enjoyed it and maybe learned something. You can rate and review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Music, and anywhere else you listen to me. If you'd like to connect with me on the socials, you can follow me at Hannah Goes Birding on Instagram. My Twitter is at WomenBirdersHH, or you can email me at HannahandEricGoBirding@gmail.com. I also have resources and information on GoBirdingPodcast.com. I hope you enjoyed this chat, and I look forward to seeing you at the next happy hour.